Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Is Armed American Radio.
If they want to take my guns, they're going to have to bring a station wagon and a whole lot of friends because I'm not giving them anything.
From the Carr Firearms Group studio
at the Patriot Mobile Communication Center
on the Sig Sauer Platinum microphone.
Mark, we know they want to take our guns, and now we're going to make them eat it.
Proudly presented to you by X Insurance.
X Insurance. X Insurance.
Here is your host of Armed American Radio, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting for your rights, Mark Walters.
Walters.
Oh, good heavens, Greg in Dallas, Texas. I cannot believe it's the third hour of the program already.
Yeah, here we are.
Man, just whipping right along. Welcome inside the Carr Firearms Group studios with me, Mark Walters, in front of the Sig Sauer Platinum and Powerful microphone, filling your prescription for freedom. As always, X Insurance presents it all, and we are coming to you from the Patriot Mobile Communication and Command Center. Daniel Defense is presenting the video to us, and Lead Slingers is involved and all that fun stuff. Greg, would you be kind enough to tell people where to watch this? Already the third hour of the show.
Yeah, sure. If you want to watch the show, just head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com. On the right-hand side of that website, you'll see the menu icon. Just give that a click, and when that window opens up, you can select that Watch Live option. If you're driving, hit that Listen Live link. And if you missed a previous episode and need to get caught up, head on over to the podcast link. If you'd like to join our live chat, all you have to do is head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
We got the whole crew in, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We do. 15th anniversary coming up next year. The crew will be here for that one.
Zoom on 15 years.
So I'm going to have to start with Hildebeest.
Oh, good.
I know I don't want to.
We all wanted to hear from her.
Hillary Clinton out there running her mouth again. I'm going to play an audio clip, Brad, Neil, and Justin. I want you guys to hear this, and you listeners, what she recently said about Trump. And then I'm going to start with introducing Neil to get us started on this, because he knows about reporting about the Clintons in Washington, D.C. more than the rest of us here, and we'll let him kick it off. Here's what Hillary Clinton had to say about Donald Trump, and then thereby you too, ladies and gentlemen. Take a listen to this carefully, and we'll analyze the Hildebeest. Here we go.
And if you're somebody who thinks, well, yeah, but he's entertaining and politics is boring and, you know, I don't know what they do anyway, You cannot think like that in this election, no matter what issue you care about. I don't care what it is. You will find that the next president will have some influence on that. And you want somebody, at the very least, who will try to find what the facts are and make decisions that are evidence-based. And finally, I think we haven't talked much about the international arena, but you know, his bromance with Putin, and it was actually called that, I think, by the former prime minister of Australia, who said he saw Trump with Putin, and Trump was like, you know, just gaga over Putin, because Putin does what he would like to do, kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive, you know, journalists and others into exile, rule without any check or balance. That's what Trump really wants. And
all right, I'm stopping right there because that's enough. Neil, I want to start with you. Welcome into the program. Every single thing she just mentioned is everything the Democrats are currently doing. They're trying to put Trump in prison. They're trying to eliminate checks and balances. It's the Democrats that want to pack the Supreme Court. It's the Democrats that want to get rid of the Electoral College. It's the Democrats that want to disarm us so they can round us up. Just take it from there and let the table handle it.
It's always funny when she talks about evidence-based, right? Because she's the one who destroyed 30,000 emails that were subpoenaed by Congress. And, you know, so this love affair with Putin, you know, Hillary and Bill have had a wonderful relationship with hundreds of millions of dollars that came into the Clinton Foundation from Russia and Putin-allied oligarchs.
especially after they approved the Russian takeover of our uranium reserves through the Uranium One company. And then, of course, there's the $500,000 that Bill Clinton got for giving a speech in Moscow. You know, they accused Republicans of what they do in order to sort of neutralize an issue and muddy the waters. And, you know, but, you know, the press is going to carry it, you know, one way and not the other, because they agree with Hillary. Not so much that they agree she's right or wrong. They don't care if Hillary's right or wrong. They just want to stop evil, bad, nasty Mr. Trump and his filthy supporters.
And I'm going to go to Brad next, because I want to save, not that Brad, what we're going to hear from you is not the best either. It's all going to be good, but I really want to hear Justin to close this segment out here. Brad, your thoughts on the Hildebeest?
Will not go away. Neil's right. I mean, every accusation is an admission. If you look at some of the things that the Clintons have been involved with and the things that Democrats are involved with, they accuse Trump of everything that they do. And they think that we haven't caught on to it. It's mind-boggling that this woman just will not go away. She belongs in prison, personally, in my opinion.
Justin Moon, does Donald Trump want to kill me?
Well, I don't know if Donald Trump wants to kill you. I think he sees you as a friend, but definitely, if you compare, you know, Hillary Clinton to Putin, I'd say Hillary Clinton is more dictatorial than Putin would ever be. I mean, look at the Clinton body count. Now, seriously, how many people did Putin kill? I mean, he's been democratically elected in every election. In the last election, he legitimately has 80% of the popular vote in Russia. He didn't get to power by a coup d'etat. He was elected.
I don't know how much I trust Russian elections, but the point that you just brought up about the Clinton body count was brought up on Fox today, too, when I saw that early. I saw a report on that this morning. People were, you had Fox commentators, some well-known ones, saying the same thing. I mean, Hillary Clinton talking about, I mean, have you seen the body count around? It's pretty frightening to be friends with Hillary and Bill Clinton. Neil McCabe?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, There was a point where every time there was some kind of crazy train wreck or airplane crash, my brother and I would try to beat each other, calling the other saying, hey, I wonder who was on that plane that Hillary Clinton wanted dead.
We're just in an upside down world, guys. Brad, none of this. It makes sense when you understand the context of why they're doing it, which is what we're talking about here. But you guys, we play in this arena. The average Joe or Jane who consumes this stuff, that doesn't talk about it for a living, and might get up every day and bust their tail and go to work, and then hears this nonsense. Brad, people are swayed by this, aren't they? People think, oh, that's Hillary Clinton. She was Secretary of State. She was First Lady.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Hillary Clinton is possibly one of the most hated people in American politics. If anything, she's speaking to the base and kind of, you know, ginning up their support. She's extremely divisive. So I don't know how persuasive it is, but the fact is that it's still getting put out there. It's still getting repeated. And there will be people that take it as truth because they're going to hear it come over the TV or they're going to hear it somewhere else. And, that is, effective propaganda.
Justin, people buy into this stuff, don't they, brother? People buy into this.
We have a propaganda machine in our country.
It
formed under Operation Mockingbird when the CIA put their people into all of the media in the U.S. And so our media is about as newsworthy and accurate as the Russian media is.
But people are figuring that out. I believe people have figured that out. Not everybody, but people are figuring that out. Neil, you've lived your career in media. You've covered the White House from the White House grounds. Are people figuring this out?
Well, what's happening is that people are realizing that the media is not describing the world they live in. So if you were, you know, talking about, you know, the Soviet Union, the reason why the Soviet Union collapsed without a shot fired was because it just reached the point where people are like, we just don't believe you anymore. It's just so crazy. We're not even going to pretend to believe you anymore. And the Soviet government controlled the magazines, the newspapers, the schools, the movies, the radio, the TV. They controlled everything. But that still didn't change the fact that they were presenting a parallel world that no one else lived in, right? Because parallel lines don't transect. And so what you have in this country is you have, you know, shows like this, right? And those knuckleheads on the Telegram group at Armed American Radio Conversations, right? We're living in this world, right? And we're talking about, there's nothing we're talking about on this show that doesn't directly relate to the things that other people are going through
in real life. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about that because John Lott and I talked about it, and I wanted to bring it to the table as well. We'll be right back with the roundtable.
Mike Gallagher wanting to let you know that the crew of the Desperado Sport Fish in Virginia Beach, Virginia supports Armed American Radio and the Second Amendment, and I'm right there with them. Now back to Mark Walters.
Okay, welcome back. During the break, I had to chuckle a little bit because this was the Mark Elias, who is a litigator, and the guy's just a left-wing bobblehead. Is what he is. In his podcast, he was interviewing Hildebeest, and his podcast is the Defending Democracy podcast. Go back to that in just a second. Welcome back to the Carr Firearms Group Studios, folks. X Insurance presenting it all. Brad, Neil, and Justin, welcome back in. This guy is—he's wearing a bib. He's slobbering so much, and I can't help it. I have to play this one more clip. I want you to hear how he introed and opened up his podcast as he slobbered all over Hillary Clinton. Take a listen to this.
I'm Mark Elias. Let's get started. Welcome, Secretary Clinton, to Defending Democracy.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's wonderful to be with you today.
So I want to start with something that I've been meaning to say to you for some number of years now. It turns out that everything you said about Donald Trump is true. in fact, you were right about everything. And I'm just curious, I'm sure people tell you this all the time, that you were right about everything. I don't know whether you take a certain measure of satisfaction in that. You find it quite depressing that that's true. You wonder why it is people didn't listen more as you were describing what a terrible person Donald Trump would be for the country and for democracy. Like, reflecting back, how do you process having been so much earlier than everybody else to who this guy was?
Let me get a mop after listening to this stuff.
Listen,
yeah, wow.
Hey, Mark,
wow is correct. Wait, Neil, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you shouldn't play that tongue bath again, because a lot of your stations are family oriented, and I'm not sure this kind of pornography is appropriate.
It's incredible. Now, Neil, you said something in the previous segment. Brad, I want to start with you. And I'm going to kind of rephrase a little bit about what Neil said. I had a fascinating conversation with Dr. John Lott in the previous hour about the reality on the streets, what's happening. Crime statistics are not being reported by the FBI because the police are not reporting them. And many statistics are inaccurate because people on the street have lost faith in police. Police themselves have lost faith in the system. People are not reporting crimes. John was reminding us that a 911 response time now in New Orleans is 3 hours. You know how much can happen in 6 minutes, let alone 3 hours. And that goes to what Neil was saying, that people are actually not hearing what they're actually seeing in their real life. And that's the gaslighting that we all go through. And that's exactly what's happening here. So let's just take the bigger perspective here, Brad. How does this tie in when you hear Hillary Clinton? When you compare what you heard from Neil about how people are not actually hearing and seeing what's being reflected in their real lives, And that's why people are buying guns. NSSF's numbers now on the 4473s are, you know, continuing at a million a pace a month. Different demographics. Democrats are buying guns. Cities are falling apart. How do you tie all this together? It's an upside down world, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, it is gaslighting is what it is. And, you know, you look around and it doesn't take a genius to realize that the narrative that we're being fed is not the reality we're living in. And, you know, from crime, you know, there's violent crime happening, it seems like, everywhere now. And, you know, it is being done by people who are, you know, already on probation or out on bond for other violent crimes. And it's all a result of the, you know, the big summer of love that we had back in 2020 and defunding police and doing away with cash bail in some cities. You know, and they talk, you know, they gaslighted us back in 2020, trying to tell everybody, make people believe that somehow their life was worse in those 4 years that Donald Trump was president, when in fact the exact opposite was true.
Right.
You know, I mean, people were making more money during that time. Minorities were employed to make more money than they ever had before. I mean, everybody's life got demonstrably better during that time. And the Democrats had to rely on lies and gaslighting to convince people that somehow their life had gotten worse. And now it's the opposite. The last 4 years have been extremely tough on most people. I don't know how some people out there are making it right now, is how tough it is. And they're trying to tell us everything's fine. You know, I was talking to my neighbor just today. He's young dude, he owns a business. He's got three kids. He's spending $350 a week to feed his family.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like this man's grocery bill is as much as his mortgage, you know, and it wasn't that way 4 years ago. And so, you know, they're having to activate whatever assets they have to lie to all of us, try to get you to believe that somehow your life has actually gotten better under Joe Biden. It hasn't. They've got a problem. They know it.
Hey, you know, funny you mentioned the $385. That's what we spent at the grocery today, this morning, was $385. And that's on top of $450 last week. And I'll probably be back and forth to Publix at least two or three times throughout the week, just picking up odds and ends. So it's going to be far higher. Justin, this is – Brad, did you want to jump in real quick?
Yeah, well, I'm saying, I mean, it'll be $100 every time you go. I mean, that's the thing. Things have gotten bad enough. You leave the house, you're going to spend $100.
Yeah, and Justin, this is communist. What we're hearing – is Communist Manifesto stuff, isn't it? It's already here, Justin.
Yeah, I'm afraid that the communists are taking over everything right now. And, you know, the unfortunate thing about the American people is they're waking up to this reality. And, you know, right now they're kind of clueless as to what they want to, can do about the situation. But if we don't pull away quickly, we are in for
trouble.
Trouble.
We are. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Neil, it's frightening stuff, but you alluded to it in the last segment, which is why I wanted to go into that, because you mentioned what Dr. Lott did, and it was in a different context where crime, he was talking about economics and statistics and crime numbers, et cetera, but it's the same thing. We're those of us who are living in cities are seeing carjackings, have been victims. We're not reporting these crimes because we know nothing is going to happen. Therefore, more people are buying guns. But all of this ties together, and it all goes back to, as Brad alluded to, the summer of love in 2020. And we sit here and we watch this unfold. This is very dangerous stuff, Neil McKay. This is very dangerous. Justin just nailed it, as he always does. I don't know. You got to start with the election in November, but the Democrats are doing everything possible to try to convince you, as Brad said, that your life sucked under Trump when it didn't, and a lot of people are scratching their heads. It's the effectiveness of the gaslighting scheme. Neil, can we get past this?
Well, the only way to get past it is the realignment, you know, with the election. The reason why we have a democracy is not because we're nice people and we want a nice government. The reason why we have a democracy is that very cynical people determined that a democracy is the best government, because your government is aligned with what the people want and need and expect. And at regular intervals, when the government gets out of alignment with the people, there's an election and that's fixed. And one of the problems in 2020 is that we elected a government that was not aligned with the people, because I wasn't living in a country with Joe Biden. You got all those votes. I'm sorry.
Better believe it. Armed American Radio's classic AAR roundtable with Neil, Justin, and Brad continues on the flip side of the break. The Zoom switch is on. Buckle in. It's going to fly right by. We'll be right back, guys. Segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back. Yeah, welcome back. Wow, what a great program today. A fascinating conversation. I want to welcome Neil, Justin, and Brad back to the table. Time is flying by, ladies and gentlemen. It always does, and this one promises. This is the longest segment we have in the show, and this one promises to fly right by as well. So, guys, welcome back to the Carr Firearms Group Studios, the Sig Sauer Mic, X Insurance presenting it all, Patriot Mobile Command Center lit up for you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, please support all of our partners, please. That's why we're here. We celebrate 15 years on the airwaves next week, and we couldn't do it without our partners. It's critical, and we couldn't do it without you. They couldn't do it without you. It's all just a big family. It's the way it works. Support each other. That's why we're here. We've got a lot more than 15 years left in us, God willing, and we're going to be here. So support them. Support the organizations that support you through this program. It's very, very important, all of them. You can find them all at armedamericanradio.com, and we thank you very much for that and for the years that you have been doing that. So, guys, I want to tell you a story that happened to my daughter and I yesterday, and it fits with what we're talking about here. I would have loved to have had this conversation with John, but I think it was more fitting for the table here to get your take on this. So as my daughter and I were hopped in the car yesterday, it was a beautiful day, had the top down in the car, and pulled it as I was pulling out of my neighborhood. Now, guys, I don't live on the bad side of town, okay? I had to wait for a van to come by before I pulled out. I pulled out behind it. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. Suffice to say, it became apparent immediately that there was a problem with the vehicle in front of us, enough so that my daughter picked up on it right away, and I said, good Lord, you're right. I jumped up a little bit closer, grabbed a license plate number. She said, Dad, you got to call the law. So I did, and I followed the vehicle under the instruction of the 911 operator. I gave them the tag number. That seemed to excite the operator, and so I knew I was onto something here. She said, I want you to stay a safe distance back. I want you to follow the vehicle until we can get units to where you are, describe what you're driving, which I did. Within 5 minutes, they pulled into, let's just call it a big box store of sorts, and I was able to tell them where the vehicle parked, that they were parked behind another van, and they were moving things between vans. Nobody was going into the big box center. I was able to drive between them, get a very good description, including the shirts, the ethnicity, everything that she was asking for, I was able to provide her in great detail. About 5 minutes had gone by since the time I made the call when the van that I originally pulled behind began to exit the big box store. At which point I said, I'm going to stay with it. She said, please do. Unit should be with you carefully. Guys, within 4 minutes of that call, five police officers in five separate vehicles from two different departments pulled up. I was able to point them to alert them when they saw my vehicle. I was able to alert them to it. They lit up, swung a UE, got behind it. Next thing I know, there's two more squad cars behind it. So this was clearly a big deal. Obviously, I made the right call. Now, here's why I bring this up. Because I live in a really nice red area. Brad, I'm going to start with you. You do too. And Justin, you do too. Neil, you do too. Do you think, first off, when I sensed what was wrong and I made that call, after what we heard from John Lott, that cops are not getting reported crimes, they're not reporting crimes that are coming into them, it was unfortunate that I was unable to continue to follow them. I really wanted to see what had happened. Something tells me I'm going to see it on the news in the near future, though. But, Brad, first off, if you had noticed something as egregious as I did, just trust me that it was egregious. I don't want to go into too much detail. Would you have made that call as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, the citizens are the first line of defense. And,
aren't
you know,
we?
You kind of, yeah, you're obligated to call the police when there's something egregious going on where, you know, somebody's life may be in danger, where somebody's dangerous on the loose. I mean, that's the police rely on the citizens to do their job.
Justin, would you have made the call?
Yeah, I mean, I'll do whatever I can to help out another person, but I would have to know more about what the circumstance is.
No, it makes sense. I don't want to go into a lot of detail. Just I'll ask you to trust me on this one that you probably would have. Neil, if you had seen something that you knew was wrong, there were three different departments that wound up as this thing got on the highway in case it moved from, and that's what my guess was, that in case it moved into other jurisdictions, it would peel up. But would you have made the call?
Yeah, I make these calls all the time, Mark. In fact, the last time I did it, we were on the highway down here in Florida, and there was some pickup truck with all sorts of crazy Arabic writing on the back window of the cab with, like, kind of crazy swords. And he was driving, like, 90 or 100 miles an hour, weaving around traffic. I called it in. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they cared, but it seemed kind of wacky to me. So, you know, I call that stuff in constantly.
All right. Brad, the reason I set that up and bring that up is when talking with John Lott and we see what crimes are going unreported, you have to wonder, would they even bother? Would someone in another area, maybe, that wasn't in a conservative area like I am, where we support our law enforcement here, we don't have 3-hour wait times. Our cops respond. They're well-funded. We love our cops. We take care of them. Okay, we lost one here about a year and a half ago. I reported on this program less than 2 miles from where I'm sitting. Was murdered at about 11:30 p.m. on a Sunday night in a very quiet, very nice area. It happens anywhere and everywhere. And the support from the community was overwhelming. But that's not the case across this country. Crimes, like, let's just say this, guys, it was drug-related, okay? Hugely drug-related. There's no question about it. No question about it. And their response told me everything I need to know that I made the right call. Now, Brad, in many areas of the country, that likely would have gone unreported, wouldn't it?
Sure. And, you know, unreported, or, you know, the police departments are so shorthanded, they wouldn't have had anybody to spare to respond to it. You know, I mean, you got city of Memphis right now. You know, it's kind of been in the news because, you know, Memphis has been a mess for decades. But, you know, their police department, they've only got something like 1,800 officers for that city of, you know, that city's, what, 600,000-700,000 people. They are understaffed by 600 officers. So, you know what? Unless someone's actively shooting or dying or doing something, you know, actively on a rampage, you're probably not going to, they're not going to have a unit that's fair to even send. And after a while, people realize that, yeah, you know what? There's no point even calling this in because, you know, I might get a call back 3 hours later. You know, you're not going to be able to affect the situation. And, I got buddies out in Memphis that, you know, police officers and citizens that live out there. I got buddies that are cops here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Nashville has a similar problem of there's just not enough of them these days. And, you know, the left has done, you know, for lack of a better term, just a brilliant job of turning people against the police and against that career field. To where, you know, it is extremely hard for police departments right now to find qualified candidates who are willing to do that job. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. It's a tough job. I did it. It's a hard way to earn a living. Yeah. But
there's
you know what
about it? Not a lot of money.
But
let's face it.
No, the money's terrible. And you know, and now we are reaping what was sown by Democrats years ago, in that, you know, our cities are becoming extremely dangerous places, and the people that we rely on to make our cities, our quality of life, what it could be, they're not there, you know, and it's not their fault. They just don't exist. And, you know, it's becoming a huge problem in a lot of places.
Justin, let me take this over now. Based on what we're talking about here and the response, at least where I live, I knew we were going to get a response. That's why we made the call. But others do. Others don't know they're going to get it, and they don't make the call. Justin, isn't that why Americans are arming themselves at record numbers for this very reason? That they just don't trust the authorities at this point where they live?
Well, I think Americans have a good reason not to trust the authorities. But the big problem is, you know, when Mao ran his communist revolution, he used the Maoist youth to actually conduct, you know, go out and just kill rich people. And basically, he basically used them to undermine all the local law enforcement and replace the law enforcement with Mao's youth. was not to leave the mouse youth in power. It was to centralize into a federal police system. And this
That's
is
exactly
the
what it was.
Way, you know, where the local cops are being, you know, targeted and, you know, disparaged.
Justin, hold that thought. We're getting ready to take a break. When we come back, we'll go back to Justin.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka letting you know that the Desperado Sport Fishing Crew in Virginia Beach, Virginia supports Armed American Radio and our right to bear arms. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka, thank you for that rejoin final segment. Told you it was going to fly by, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back into the Carr Firearms Group studios. Patriot Mobile Command Center, Sig Sauer, Mike fired up, X Insurance presenting it all. Please visit all of our partners at armedamericanradio.com. I just want to let you know, next week is our 15th anniversary show. So we're going to have a bunch of guests moving in and out throughout the show next week, and we'll do some reminiscing and we'll have some fun, and it will be a blast, a little celebratory show for us next week on Armed American Radio. So you don't want to miss that, the 15th anniversary show. That only happens once, right? To think the next big one will be 20 is just mind-boggling, and it'll go just like that. It always does, unfortunately. I'm going to go back to Justin Moon, CEO of Carr Arms. Justin, I'm sorry we hit that hard break. Your phone was breaking up just a tad bit, popping in and out. Please finish your thought, if you would be so kind. Then we'll move over to Neil.
Yeah, I'd like to say I'm on the side of the people more than I'm on the side of law enforcement, because I think that we have just enough law enforcement so that we don't have anarchy and that we can engage in, you know, civilized interactions with other human beings. But other than that, I don't want any more law enforcement than that, because it's so easy for the political class to use police and law enforcement to go after their political enemies.
And that's what the founding fathers had, that same fear. Neil.
Yes.
Have we got you?
The founding. Hi.
Hi. There you are. Are you back? You're on the radio with us, right? I'm tossing
sorry,
it back
I'm,
over
I'm,
to you.
I muted my mic. I'm sorry.
It happens. It happens. But yeah, I mean, the founding fathers had that fear. They had fear of standing armies. They didn't want too much authority. They knew that it could become tyrannical. And it ties in to what we've been talking about for really the 3 hours, not just this hour. But go ahead.
No, the fear of the standing armies is so on the mind of the founders and the framers that I believe the Third Amendment is the quartering of troops in private homes, because that was a very common practice. And so here we are, right? We haven't reached the point where the military is actually enforcing the laws. Like, we don't have so-called martial law in this country, because the way they get around it is they just fully arm all the police and federal agencies in full battle rattle. Like, when you look at an FBI raid, like, what's the difference between those guys and, you know, in the full battle rattle? They all look like 11 bang bangs to me. I mean, they're all suited up. They've got their bulletproof vests, their helmets, their automatic weapons. They've basically turned the police into the military.
Yeah, Brad, I'm going to close out the final segment with you guys on this topic here, and I'll start with you, and it'll be a fun one to start. And Neil's talk, we've all talked about this before, but when you want to talk about how life in America, how divided this country is, I saw this morning at about 10 o'clock, and I immediately grabbed it, texted it to myself, and said, got to go here with the roundtable. There was an actual Fox News headline, Life Swap, American exchange students trade red, blue states to learn valuable lesson. The American Exchange Program sends students to places vastly different from their own hometowns. Brad, are we so divided in this country right now that we are swapping this? How different it is that Floridian students want to go to California to see how the other side lives? Is that how bad it is? Apparently it is, because this company is sending people for free, students, high school students. We need you to go see how New Yorkers live. And New Yorkers, how Floridians live. Brad, what a crappy testament to what's happening to this country. Take it away.
Yeah. Wow. First I've heard of that, and that is, you know, pretty crazy. I mean, you know, I think maybe there are a lot of people out there that could probably use a bit of a lesson in how actual Americans live. And when I say actual Americans, I'm not talking about New York and L.A. and Chicago. I'm talking about how people actually live in this country, in you know, what they usually call flyover country, which is where most are, where I consider to be true Americans, you know, embracing freedom and liberties, and just generally, you know, in my experience, Americans generally are just really good people. And, but, you know, a real American doesn't really exist in New York City or L.A., I don't think. And so maybe they do need to meet some of us and realize that, you know, hey, we're not stupid, and we actually have a pretty good idea how to run this country.
Yeah, at one point, Justin, as Americans, we all knew America, right? We may not have been there, but we knew about it. We at least heard about it. We were taught about it. Here's a quote, Justin, from one of the kids. I grew up in a very populated area, so seeing huge fields, farms, just stuff that I never thought I'd get to see, those are kind of the best experiences because it's a whole new part of the country. It's almost like it's like another country, Justin. Coming from kids. Go ahead.
Well, rural America and urban America are two different countries. They're completely different in terms of their socioeconomic environment and their socialization. And, you know, I'd like to say that, you know, before we had this, you know, big apparatus of federal law enforcement, and we had the FBI, which basically, and CIA, which basically monopolized all organized crime into their basic institutions, FBI, CIA, now run all the organized crime. When organized crime was divided up into mob families all over the country, and it was more decentralized, the people actually had more liberty than they have now.
Ask people who lived in Little Italy then versus now, okay? It's very bizarre, but it's, I mean, I've been in Little Italy and actually seen mobsters have dinner, and Little Italy was one of the safest places in the city of New York at that time period, so there's this weird juxtaposition there. Neil, over to you. It was you that said, America, they've been divorcing us for a long time. The country's going to split between blue and red, and there you have this story today. Is it such a bad thing in today's day and age that blue kids get to go meet red kids and see how they live? It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's like they're visiting the zoo. The you know, Lois Lerner, the FBI commissar who was in charge of breaking up the Tea Party, because remember, in the 2012 cycle, after the Tea Party, big Tea Party victories of 2010, the IRS went after the Tea Party and basically took them off the field, right? She said in one of her text messages or emails to one of her IRS buddies, it's like, hey, I'll never forgive Abraham Lincoln for fighting the Civil War. We should have just let those people go. We would have been a better country without them.
Unbelievable. Yeah, well, let me close it out with this, guys. Let me, first off, we're getting ready to take our final break. This is it. We have about 15 seconds left. So, Justin, thank you, as always, for being here. Looking forward to having you on our 15th anniversary show next year. Brad Primo, hope all you guys can make it to the 15th anniversary show. Brad's great to have you here, as always. And, of course, Neil McCabe, you've been with us darn near those 15 years. So we're going to move in and out of a lot of guests. We're going to have a lot of fun. We'll get the schedule up for you next week. But it's going to be a big show next week, our 15th anniversary here on Armed American Radio's MonsterCast. All of it being presented by X Insurance. Car Firearms Group Studios will be lit up. Sig Sauer Mike will be lit up. Patriot Mobile Command Center will be all fired up. We're going to have a great time. Hope you enjoyed the program today as much as we all enjoyed bringing it to you. It was really good. It moved really quick. I do apologize in advance for that. Next week's will as well. It's just the way it is. So, until we meet on the radio again next week, remember, carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never, ever, ever leave your cave without your club. No self-respecting caveman would ever be caught outside his cave without his club. It's pretty much that simple, but you already got that figured out. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, we're going to get up and do it again tomorrow on the weekday show because they don't want us to. Enjoy your day. Stay safe. We'll see you on the radio.
Just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.